Randall's doing well, progressing. I mean, there's a plan for him, and he's moving forward.
Same with Clay Matthews. How did he come?
Clay, did more yesterday. Same deal. He's, you know, we got a plan for him as far as today and practice tomorrow and moving along.
The field surface of where you guys play on a Sunday, how much does that impact how you manage injured players during the week? Because you're playing on artificial turf, field turf on Sunday. I'm just wondering, does that factor into how you manage injured players during a practice week?
Well, I think it's it's really two parts to that. I mean, number one, you can't really control the surface you're playing on, and regardless of how you feel about it. But it's not it doesn't change anybody's status as far as how the medical staff proceeds with players working through injuries. Now, it'll affect on how we train. I mean, the ideal. It's for us to be out on the grass. If the weather was better this week, we would have practiced Wednesday and Thursday on the grass and then just saved the field turf work for Saturdays. Because, I'm of the opinion you don't need to be on field turf every single day. The game of football was meant to play on grass, and frankly, it's a better training, environment and landscape for the health of your football team. So we'll always be on the grass regardless if we're playing inside. It's always been our history. So, but as far as what we think of their turf down there, I mean, I have no qualms, or I'm not sure. Do you have concerns about the turf in Atlanta?
More in terms of injured players with nagging injuries. Like, do you play more consciously during a practice week when you know you're playing on turf on Sunday?
I mean, really, the injury philosophy and structure, it goes directly through our medical staff. So there's a progression that they go through, protocol, whether it's a certain portion of the practice is their rehab, and then there's practice segments that you work them into. So I mean, it's obviously it depends on the injury too. I mean, it may adjust, but we work through the protocol and the progression and plan accordingly, and they play. I mean, players are either clear to play or not clear to play. I mean, that's how it's always been.
I'm curious if the injury to Lacy has affected your vision of how the offense was going to go this year, and is that a I don't want to say a problem, but a step back from building that identity that you're looking to get to?
Well, I think when Eddie Lacy's your running back, you play a certain way, no different than. James Starks. I mean, I think, when those two guys, when you have a 1-2 punch like that, the vision of how we play an offense, I think, was apparent through the preseason and early in the season. So, the way we're, our situation now is obviously a lot different. So we'll see how that goes. But this is an NFL season. It's a long year. So you have to be able to adjust accordingly and play different ways based on the health of each position.
Mike, I know Sam Shields is obviously on injured reserve, but I don't know how this works with the protocol. Is he still going through whatever phases or steps of it in order to get cleared?
Well, the way we do it here, when a player is placed on injured reserve, we basically have a contract that has a number of components to it, and it's broken down by their participation, both classroom. So that's in they vary sometimes based on the injury. So if there's a period where a player's excused to leave for a week or two, that's part of it sometimes. So that always varies. But as far as him going through the protocol and so forth, they haven't really updated. I haven't got an update on that. So, but Sam is in Florida. He's going to be there for 2 weeks.
Hey, Mike, to follow up on some of the stuff you said this past week, at the time that Aaron put in with Don, I think Ty, at the hotel last week. I remember in the summer, too, Blake Martinez was talking about, throwing stuff off of him in the locker room with their lockers being as close as they were. How valuable is that knowledge bank that Aaron has, even if it isn't with the quarterbacks or receivers, but just in terms of, various different positions, being able to kind of tap into that?
I think it's extremely valuable, and it's, you know, something that I learned as a quarterback coach, and actually Billy Joe Tolliver was adamant about it, and frankly, really made an impression on me just the time that I was around Billy in Kansas City and in New Orleans on the importance of the older quarterbacks giving back to the younger quarterbacks, and because it's such a, you know, it's just such a demanding position, clearly the most demanding as far as what they're asked to do, you know, mentally and so forth. So just with that always stuck with me as a foundation, and then as a coordinator and as a head coach, it's something that we've implemented here, and the older players giving back to the younger players, because the league has changed so much. You know, I know, and you know, we're a 25-year-old average football team for 11 years here. So how do you educate and get your younger players up to snuff quicker? Well, I mean, it's you know, no different than parenting. You sit there and tell your kids something, and they say yeah, but then when Aaron Rodgers tells them the same thing, they go whoa. So it's all part of it. But we spend a lot of time, and it's no different than Julius Peppers. I think Julius has been a tremendous mentor to a number of our younger players, especially coming from, you know, two other programs. But Aaron's always taken a lot of pride in that, not only just with the quarterbacks, but, you know, cross the hall was the term we use internally about the offensive guys, you know, sharing with the defensive guys, vice versa.
Two more, please.
I hate to say it's a bigger emphasis, but is it – the rookie Beasley, I think, has 3 forced fumbles. He's obviously got a really good history of forcing fumbles. Is that more of a point of emphasis this week as far as the quarterback and their fumbles that they force on those guys?
Definitely. It's part of our, you know, we have a profile on every football team that we compete against, and that was definitely highlighted in the profile presentation on their ability to take away the football. I think they play with a lot of energy. They fly around. They do a very good job stripping football, particularly. I think it was 6 of the 8 fumbles they've caused have come off of edge pressure, whether it was, you know, 44, 21's come off. So trust me, they've seen the highlight, and we've addressed it, and it's all part of about getting to know your opponent. So they do a very good job taking away the football.